Hello everybody, you're listening to Mark Ling, and I've got with me today a really special guest. His name is Eben Pagan, and he is a information product business founder. He's the founder of Hot Topic Media, and you may have heard of some of his really well-known sites, including Double Your Dating, Catch Him and Keep Him. He's got several personal development products, and he's also a well-respected and well-known business coach. He has 10 online brands currently launched. Most are doing have done over $1 million already so far, and he's produced over $100 million in sales online. He runs his business all 100% virtual, all from home with no office. And he's going to teach you guys how you can follow in his footsteps if you are interested in making yourself a passive income online. So without further ado, I want to welcome along Eben Pagan. Welcome along, Eben.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mark. Great to be here again.
It's great to have you here. And on this particular call, we're going to be, I'm going to be sort of grilling you to try and get out as many of your secrets as I possibly can to how you've achieved your success. First of all, would you mind just starting by saying, how did you actually start your information business, and how did you grow it to be so big online, all working from home?
Yeah, well, you know, the interesting thing is when I started out, I really, I had no experience selling information products or doing online stuff. You know, this was 10 years ago now, and I just had to lock myself in my bedroom and learn how to do HTML, and, you know, I used Microsoft Word to write my first book, and had to learn how to make a PDF file. And I guess the point I'm trying to make is that I had no experience, so I had to kind of figure it out, you know, all on my own, which I think is encouraging to a lot of folks who are thinking of, you know, doing something with this. But the short story is I wrote a book. My first book was of dating advice for men. I wrote the book in about 3 weeks. I made a PDF file out of the book, which back then took me a long time to figure out how to do. And I put it up online, and I started getting traffic to it, and people started buying it. And within a few months, I was making a really nice income to the point where I could do that full time. And I haven't looked back since. After that, I started launching other products and doing video and audio courses. Again, you know, trying to figure out how to do it from scratch. My first video course, from when we shot the video until we released it, was something like 9 months it took us to figure out how to edit the video and put it all together, you know, stuff you can do with a simple computer now in a matter of hours. But over time I grew it, and we launched other products and other brands. And as you mentioned, now we've gotten to the point where we have a nice big team, virtual company, dozens of employees. We've done over $100 million, well over $100 million in sales of information products, books, videos, and other types of courses.
So sometimes people find it scary almost when they hear, oh, he's doing $100 million, and they almost just instantly switch off to it and think, no, yeah, that's right. Too high, I can't do that. But yet You've taught thousands of students to be able to make passive incomes for themselves online. And you didn't start making $100 million. It all started with just making enough to be able to quit your day job and do this full time, and then it went from there, right? I mean, what's the sort of the growth cycle?
Oh, yeah. In the beginning, you know, I would sell, you know, one book here, you know, for $20 or $30, and then I'd have a day and not have any sales, and I'd go a few more days. And, you know, this was all very, very touch and go. In fact, when I started my business, I didn't have a job. I was actually unemployed, and it was a little bit scary there, you know, for quite a while. But then once it got going, you know, and I started making it work, then it really started to happen. And, you know, another thing, Mark, too, is, you know, remember that wherever you're at in life, if you're thinking of, you know, getting into advice or into personal coaching, or you want to write a book, or you want to become a public speaker, you know, all of us started out not having any success in it. I mean, I personally grew up in the woods in a state here in the U.S. called Oregon, in the backwoods, really. And I didn't have any models of success. I didn't have anyone who showed me the ropes of how to, you know, be successful in business or how to do marketing. These are all things that I had to learn on my own. And, you know, I'll tell you, if I can do it, and I'm a high school dropout and a community college dropout, then I really think that, you know, anyone can, especially with there being such a huge growing demand for information in the form of books and audios and video courses.
So just to explain this further to people that are on the webinar that may or may not understand what you mean by information products or an information business, can you just explain that a little further?
Sure, absolutely. Well, I think the most well-known information product that most of us are very familiar with is a book. Okay, so I use this fancy term, you know, we sometimes use it, Mark, information product. And that sounds very sophisticated and, you know, sometimes a little bit intimidating. But all it is when you take information or your story or how-to advice and you package it up into some format that other people can get their hands on. You know, 500 years ago or, you know, a little more, we invented the printing press here in the West, and that allowed us to take knowledge and make a book out of it so we could pass it around from person to person. Well, the computer revolution and, you know, the desktop publishing revolution and what I now call the desktop production revolution allows us to sit down at our computers and make digital books and digital audio programs and digital video programs, many of which I create just standing at my computer. In fact, I'll be creating one in a few days this weekend where it's just me standing at my computer with a microphone and recording into it and using a PowerPoint presentation and making a product that I'll go on to sell for, you know, anywhere from, we sell these products from $50 to $100 up to many thousands of dollars. So an information product can be a book, it can be an e-book, it can be an audio course, it can be a coaching program, it can be a members area, it can be a video course, it can be one of many different formats that are available right now. But if you package up your knowledge, your advice, your how-to information into a format that other people can buy, consume, and use, that's what we mean by an information product.
Right. And I guess the reason why people are willing to pay a lot of money for information products is, I guess, when you really think about it, if there's something that you're really interested in or a problem that you want to resolve, like you want to, say, get a girlfriend if you're single, or if you want to train your dog if your dog is digging up your front lawn or something like that, most people, when they really think about it, if they feel like the product they're purchasing is guaranteeing them that result, then, you know, people will spend a lot of money to achieve those results.
Yeah, that's a really great point, Mark. There are a lot of mistakes. Yeah, there are a lot of ways to do it wrong when you start a business or an information business. And there are only a few ways to do it right. And if you study with someone like you who's done it successfully many times, or someone like me who's launched many, many dozens of products all successfully, or, you know, we've launched many successfully, almost all the products that we've launched have been successful, you learn a few things, and you can learn a few things from folks like us. And one of the things to understand is that if you want to be successful, if you want to have a business that actually makes money, you don't just want to take any knowledge and put it into a book or an audio program or an information program. You want to put knowledge in there that other people find really, really valuable. Okay, so for example, in the very first video that I ever put online back 4 or 5 years ago, where I was kind of teaching the idea of information products and value, I held up a book in my hand that was originally $1,000 when it was new. And then I held up another book that was about $10 when it was new. You know, both printed on paper, both about the same size, and both of them actually very, very valuable books that many marketers would point to and say, that was a really good book. But one of the books sells for $1,000, and the other book sells for $10. And, you know, I posed the question, how could that be? How is it that someone could sell this book for $1,000 and sell a lot of them? Okay, he sold a lot of that book. And the reason is, because the information contained in that book was information that people were willing to pay a lot of money for. And it turns out that in any area of life, whether it be, you know, in the big health kind of self-help niches like health and fitness or dating and relationships or money and business or even things like very passionate hobbies, there are some aspects of that particular body of information that people really want to know about and they'll pay a lot of money for. You know, for instance, you know, if a man is looking for advice on how to get a date, he'll probably pay a lot more money for a, you know, an opening line to go start a conversation with a woman that guarantees that he won't get rejected, then he'll pay for an idea on how to wear more stylish shoes, okay? Because the starting the conversation without getting rejected is a very emotional issue, and it's something that's very important to him. And when you start thinking about selling your knowledge, that's when these things become very important, because you want to sell the things that people are willing to pay hundreds and thousands of dollars for. You don't want to be trying to sell the things that people are willing to pay 10 or 20 cents for.
Right, right. So, but you do still, well, obviously 10 or 20 cents for that, yeah, that totally doesn't make sense. But you still sell low-ticket products as well, though, that are, say, you know, they're not necessarily every product you sell is hundreds or thousands of dollars. You still sell, like, for instance, your core Double Your Dating ebook at doubleyourdating.com. Yeah. That still sells for a low price. I think it's $20 or something like that.
Yes, exactly.
Would you say to people that ebooks are still a good idea?
Yeah, well, I really think they're a good idea. You know, of course, Amazon.com now sells more ebooks than they sell regular books. And Amazon just started a publishing company. They've just become a book publisher, which I'm sure the big publishing companies are very scared about. But I, you know, I understand a lot of your audience here, Mark, are folks who are interested in developing themselves, who have probably invested in self-help books and personal development books, maybe on things like health and fitness or dating and relationships or improving themselves in business and so forth. So to that kind of, you know, to that you know, that level of development, I'd like to kind of speak a little bit and give you a little bit of a frame of education here and say that when you get into business and you really start understanding how business works, you realize that you don't just want to do the thing that makes you a little bit of money up front. You want to do the thing that makes you the most money all the way down the road, okay? And you want to do things that keep paying you in the long term. So what I've discovered is that with some products, okay, depending on what your niche is or what category you're teaching or what type of knowledge you're offering, in some categories, you would want to start out by selling or offering a lower priced product that might sell for $10 or $20. And the reason for that isn't because you want to make $10 or $20 for the sale. The reason is because you want to allow someone to buy something from you and get exposed to the quality of your knowledge and your information. And also because you want to find those people who are really serious so that you can sell them your other products. So in some cases, it actually makes sense to sell at, you know, what someone might call a loss leader. You know, if you walk into a retail store and you see right up front there, they've got, you know, big bottles of soda or something, and they're priced at a ridiculously low price, and you say to yourself, how can they afford to sell that for so cheap? And the reason why is because that cheap item is what's getting everyone into the store, and then people are saying, well, while I'm here, I'm going to buy $100 worth of groceries so they can afford to lose 50 cents on this one particular item because they're going to make $100 worth of sales on the back end. So this, as you well know, Mark, it's a little bit more technical, but the bottom line is you can create products that sell for all different prices, and I think it's important, though, no matter what price you're looking to sell your product for, you want to focus in on the knowledge and the desires that people want to solve the most and that they're willing to pay the most to solve so that you can make the most money.
Right. No, that makes absolute total sense. So if someone was to launch an ebook, though, they're still able to, you know, because sometimes people are thinking, well, does that mean that I have to create like several products in a back end before I can begin to make money? Or can you, is it possible for somebody to make a really good income, you know, up front from their first ebook? I'm not saying making $1 million. I'm just saying, you know, manage to make, you know, several hundred dollars a week from an ebook before they've even made a back end product.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as I mentioned before, you know, when you look back on your business and you see how you did it, everything becomes clear. But when I started my business, Mark, I didn't have an opt-in page. I didn't have a newsletter. I didn't have a back-end product. I didn't have an upsell. I didn't have any of that stuff. All I had was an ebook. Like, that was it. because I hadn't figured any of those other things out yet, and I really hadn't seen other people, you know, doing that kind of a model online. You know, in a lot of ways, we experimented and figured a lot of this stuff out.
Yeah.
So absolutely. And in fact, I meet people all the time that have ebooks that make very good money just selling an ebook. Or sometimes they'll write a whole series of ebooks on different topics, on, you know, everything from, you know, I mean, I've had friends that have, you know, made money selling books on everything from, you know, how to train your dog, to, you know, how to overcome jealousy in relationships, to, you know, just about yeah. everything you can possibly imagine. So ebooks are a great idea. And I also really like ebooks, Mark, because once you've written it, you can put it up online, and you can make a PDF file or a, you know, a downloadable reader file, and then someone comes to your website, they buy your book, and they just download a copy of the file. You don't have to send them anything. You don't have to follow up and pack something in a box. I mean, you know all these benefits yourself.
Yeah.
But just having ebooks can be really, really great.
I'll tell you a couple of other things that I love about ebooks. You're probably similar to me, is that you're not limited by any publishing restrictions on the amount of pages or anything like that. So you can actually supply a better product than what you may wind up supplying in print if you were to do it that way. You know, you're not limited. You can add color photos. You can do all sorts of things without thinking about, oh, how much is this going to cost to print? You can do a lot of stuff. Also, you can add multimedia. Like, for instance, you can give an ebook, but then you could read out an audio version of that ebook and just put it there as well. Or you could record a couple of interviews with experts in that particular niche, add them as bonuses. You can do so much more with a ebook than what you necessarily can do with if you were to do a physical book, not to mention the margins are higher.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, if you, just for instance, let's say you go to a book publisher, okay, where most of the books that are published, even by major book publishers, most of them fail to even sell more than, you know, a few copies, right? I forgot what the number is, but, you know, 9 out of 10 or 19 out of 20 of them never sell more than a few thousand copies. And for every book that you sell with a book publisher, they might send you a couple of dollars, okay, if you're lucky. Whereas if you publish your own ebook online, you don't have to go through all the publishing costs, print up thousands of copies of it, and work on all the distribution. You create the ebook file, you put it online on your web server. There are lots of services that allow you to do this right now. And let's say you sell it for $20, someone pays you $20, you get to keep the whole $20. So it can be, you know, 10 times as profitable to create an ebook and sell an ebook as even doing, you know, mainstream publishing. Another little kind of fun little trick that I like about ebooks as well is if you go print 10,000 copies of a book and it's got a mistake in it, you're screwed. Like, there's nothing you can do. You know, with an ebook, when I first published my my ebook, Double Your Dating, Mark, I put it out. I got it online. It had all kinds of spelling errors and typos and other little things in it because I just hammered it out and got it out there because I wanted to test and see if it worked. And then once it worked, I went back and I fixed all of those other little things. So it allows you to do something also that is, you know, until now has not been easy to do, which is you can test the product before you invest all the time, effort, and energy to make it perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. I found that over the years as well. Several of my products have certainly gone over great transformations over the years that perhaps would have been extremely difficult if they'd been published in a traditional sense. You know, you can just jump in there and just make an edit overnight and, you know, and it's there. No need to recall stock or anything like that.
Yeah, and I mean, nowadays, you know, like I said, it took me a long time to figure out how to make a PDF. You know, now I use a Mac, and I use their Pages program, and you can just, you know, click make a PDF out of it. I can make a change and make a new PDF in 10 seconds, you know. Try doing that with a printed hard copy book.
Right, yeah, absolutely. Now, the big conversations online right now about how to choose a niche and how to, you know, like a niche to actually get into, and then how to build a list. How do you do this over and over successfully?
Yeah, well, you know, I'll tell you, Mark, we've launched many, many dozens of products now. I don't know. I mean, if I add them all up in our different businesses, we've probably made 100 products or something. Most of them were successful, and most of them in one way or another we still offer to this day. You contrast that with the statistics that most products that are launched fail, most of them don't work out in the long run, right? There's something going on here. And what I've found is that most people, when they try to get into a niche, so to speak, they say, okay, well, I got to pick my niche. You know, I have people that come to my seminars and things, and they'll say, well, I haven't chosen my niche yet, you know, and they'll spend 6 months on this. And they'll go, oh, I'm really working on choosing my niche. And I know when somebody says that, that they're already kind of destined for failure, because this doesn't work that way. You don't just kind of choose a niche and then everything's okay after that. In business, if you want to succeed, what you want to do is find a group of people that has a need, okay, that definitely has a need and will pay money to solve it, and then create a product. One of my friends who's highly successful, one of the most financially successful friends that I have, took a company public back in the 90s, has sold several businesses since. He says, first, I find a hungry audience, and then I bake them a cake, right? And I said, that's really a good way to put it. Whereas most people try to bake cakes and then put them out on the sidewalk and try to get people to buy them. So let me walk you through quickly, just for example, how I have targeted some niches inside of my own business. Okay, so I built my Double Your Dating business, okay, built that successfully. While I was building it, I had a lot of people saying to me, wow, that's really interesting. You know, how did you do that? Can you show me how you did it? And I wound up showing a lot of people how I built my business. Several of them went on to build their own successful businesses and make hundreds of thousands or even $1 million-plus dollars. And as that was happening, I said, hey, wait a minute. That's actually a pretty good idea right there, is to show people how to make one of these businesses. So I created a business training program called Altitude. This was about, 5 years ago or so. And I launched it, and we charged $10,000 a person to come to it. We had people fly in from all over the world to attend, and we turned that into a product, which we sold very well as well. But it was a successful program. A lot of people came. Well, at that program, while I was there, I started asking the group questions. And I realized that about half the people in the audience had information product businesses. In other words, they were the kinds of folks we're talking about now. They were authors, speakers, coaches, creators of membership sites, that kind of thing. And, you know, I was doing a seminar on business, and about half the people there were doing information products. So I said, wow, it looks like people who make information products really resonate with what I teach. So I launched a course on information products, on how to create information products. And that course did better than the Altitude program. Okay, so while I was launching that course, I did a survey of my list. And I said, I'm going to be teaching this course on how to build a successful information product business. What's your biggest frustration in building your information business? And I thought that they were going to answer things like building a list or targeting a niche or all the things you do in information products. Turned out their number one answer was time management and productivity. Now, that was a real surprise to me, because I thought, well, okay, time management's important, but I didn't ask you what's your biggest frustration with time management. I asked you what's your biggest frustration or problem building an information business. And most people answered time management. So I said, okay, I'm going to have to teach a course on time management. So I made a course on time management, which I've wanted to do for a while, so it was a nice excuse. And I offered it as a bonus when I sold my course on information products. And I added it as a bonus course. And it turned out that people told me that that was the best part of the course, was the time management course. So then I took that thing that I made as a bonus, and I took it and I made it into its own product. And now it's called Wake Up Productive, and we sell that course, and we sell a lot of them, and it's one of our most successful courses. It's a really great course on how to double your productivity. And I could keep going on and on, but the bottom line is, what I'm always doing is I'm always listening for where there's an opportunity, okay, where people have a need, and where there isn't a solution, and then I provide it for them. Last night, I was flying home from San Francisco. I was invited to speak at Tim Ferriss's event. He's the guy that did the 4-hour work week and the 4-hour body. He did a really exclusive high-end event in Napa with a whole group of New York Times best-selling authors, and he was kind of teaching folks how to do information and make bestsellers and so forth. So I was flying home last night from that and struck up a conversation across the the seat for me with the gentleman sitting next to me. And, you know, wouldn't you know it, of course, this is, you know, a super successful guy. And the only reason he was on this plane was because one of the engines on his private plane needed some maintenance. So he had to fly like a regular person here. And I started asking him, you know, what do you do? And he was telling me about his background and how he had been retired and how, as you know, he kind of got bored being retired, and he noticed this opportunity online in internet marketing and advertising. And he said, wow, somebody needs to make this. And so he, you know, he realized that others were really frustrated. They had this problem. They had this big need. And he went and he started this business. And now it looks like it's going to be very successful. So the successful entrepreneur, right, or the successful information product publisher, is always listening, always looking around for needs that people have. And I'll tell you, Mark, pretty much everyone that I've talked to about this in some way, and they say things like, well, I don't really know how to do anything, or I don't really know anything special. I'll say, well, let's just stop for a second. You know, what's a big problem that you've had in your life that you solved for yourself? Okay, what's something that was really meaningful? You know, and I've got one friend that, you know, whatever, he figured out how to lose 80 pounds, okay, and he figured that out by diet and exercise and some other things. And I said, well, you know, I'll bet you there are a lot of other people out there that would love to learn from a regular person how they lost 80 pounds, you know, or you might be someone that figured out how to get out of credit card debt, or maybe you did a good job teaching your children how to read, okay, or there's something that you've done that you put some time into that you figured out how to do uniquely. And once you figure out what that thing is, then what you do is you go and you take it and you turn it into some type of an information product. Now, I personally like things like free reports, free videos, free downloads, things that you can make relatively quickly online and you can put up. And then what I like to do is I like to give them away. Okay, I like to give them away. And the reason I like to give them away is because I found that the more value that you give away, the more people will come to your website and will opt into your list and will eventually buy your other products. So you can see here you're asking about targeting a niche and building a list, and they actually go together. Okay, so when you find a need, you then say, okay, this might be a good idea for a niche. You create a piece of content or a downloadable PDF file or a video that you can shoot at your computer, or a PowerPoint presentation that you can make, you know, real simple online with like a screen cam software. Then you make this and you put it online and you start giving it away, and then you see whether or not people are really interested in this thing, whether they come to check it out, whether they come to download it. And by using this kind of 1-2 punch, you can discover all kinds of niches and all kinds of opportunities and start building your list literally for nothing.
So you don't really need to start by making your product then, because that can be overwhelming to people, the whole idea of making an ebook. When it's, I mean, it seems easy to me and you because we've been doing it for years, but, you know, someone that's never written a book before, for instance, that can sound kind of daunting. But you're saying the best thing to do is get out there and just write a short report like that and give away great free information, and then in exchange for people entering their name and email address, and then go from there?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is really interesting. So, you know, as you know, Mark, I've got several high-end kind of trainings, and I've got some coaching programs where I teach very successful information marketers how to be successful. And I do live coaching sessions every week where if you're a member of one of my programs, you can dial in and, you know, do work with me live. And one of the things that I'm continually recommending is that people talk to their audience. They actually get them on the telephone or they talk to them live, and they just ask them questions, simple things. What's your biggest fear or frustration? What's your biggest desire? What's the thing that worries you the most? What's the specific outcome that you'd like to have happen for you? Now, big companies pay millions and millions of dollars, billions of dollars, to do this kind of research. They do it by hiring companies, you know, like Nielsen or whatever, you know, or these other big research companies to go out and ask people, what do you want to buy? What are your big frustrations? Mm. They have whole research and development departments. And the reason why they do this is because it works. Okay, it actually works. When you talk to people and you say, what's your problem right now? What's the, you know, solution you're looking for? What would you be willing to pay money for? People will tell you. And what I've noticed consistently, Mark, is when someone gets on one of my coaching calls and they say, I took your advice, and I created a free piece of content, and then I went to some social media sites, and I started some discussion groups, and I started posting responses on blogs. I started building a little list, and then I started setting up little 15 or 20-minute calls, and I started helping people and asking them questions and finding out what they need. And here's what they told me. When I hear someone say that, a little light goes off in my head. Okay, we've got someone here who's probably going to be a winner because they're out there listening to the audience. They're out there actually doing what I've told them to do. Hmm. People will actually give you all the information you need. I also think it's a great idea to start doing personal coaching, because when you talk to these folks after you've done your free research, you can then say, you know what I'd like to do is, why don't I do a coaching session with you? I'll charge you $97, or you can charge whatever you want, but I'll charge you $97. I'll work with you for an hour, 90 minutes, and I'll actually help you solve this problem. The great thing about that is you can get paid to do even more research. And several of the people I know who have very successful information, advice, and coaching businesses, they started out doing personal coaching before they ever went and made products. So they did their research, they got paid to do even more research, and then by the time they made their product, they had already been experimenting with real people, in the real world and getting paid to do it. So you don't necessarily need to have a product. And in fact, I think it's sometimes an advantage to not have a product and just work with people live one-on-one, interview them, get them to tell you what it is that they want you to make for them, and do the market research yourself.
I think that's absolutely brilliant advice. Another thing that I do as well that can be quite helpful is, and you probably, I'm guessing you would have done things like this as well, is quite often I'll use keyword research tools as well. Like, for instance, the Google keyword tool. Anyone could type in after this webinar, they could type in Google keyword tool into Google, and then you've got this tool where you can type in keyword phrases to do with the industry that you're interested in getting in, and you can see the kinds of phrases that people are actually typing into the search engines. Like, when I entered the dog training niche, I found out that people were typing in phrases like stop dog digging, stop dog barking, stop dog jumping, German Shepherd training, Beagle training, how to stop my dog from bolting out the front door, all sorts of things, and you can do that from keyword research as well as the, like you say, talking to your people as well.
Yeah, it really is spectacular, Mark. It's almost astounding, like it really is, that you can go online right now and you can use a piece of technology called Google and their keyword tool that has cost billions and billions of dollars and the smartest minds on the planet, and you can use it for free to do keyword research, to do market research. I mean, my estimate, Mark, is if you give me one day and a computer connection, I can do what probably would have cost me 20 years ago $100,000 or $1 million to do, like the same level of research.
Mm. Yeah, it is incredible.
Yeah. All should be taking advantage of it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So what's the secret of growing a successful business, even if you don't have a lot of money to start?
Yeah, that's a great question. By the way, can I just wrap one thought up on the niches?
Yeah.
There, I think you mailed everyone, access to this niche report that I put up online. And I definitely recommend that you go through that, because within every niche, there are sub niches. And you just said, hey, within, dog training, there are all these other issues. And you know what? Someone could probably make a really, really good business just on getting dogs to stop digging. Or they could probably make a really, really good business on just how to get your dog to stop barking. A niche within a niche. So don't rule those out. And just because someone's already doing dog training, keep going. Keep digging yourself, to find it. Okay, so next question, how to build a business if you don't have a lot of money. I was invited to speak at the USC Marshall School of Business, the entrepreneur school, which is one of the top entrepreneur schools in the world, which I think is really fun, and I love to talk about it because I dropped out of high school and college, and to get invited to speak to, you know, these fancy entrepreneur students was pretty good. And one of the questions that that they wanted to know is, you know, what do I do here if I don't have any money? What if I don't have any money to start a business? And I said, that's better. It's actually better to start a business by bootstrapping it, quote unquote, than to have a lot of money. And here's why. Most business ideas don't work. Okay? Most things that are tried don't work out. So you got to try a few different things to find the one that's going to work. Now, a lot of people kind of go, oh, I don't want to do that. But the reality is that if you've got a good system to try things out, you can find the one that's going to work very quickly. Okay? For instance, I have a couple of young friends who, you know, one of them when he was in his late teenage years, now they're in their 20s, he was in his late teenage years, he was doing affiliate marketing, and he was selling other people's products and services and just doing pay-per-click and other types of advertising. And he found a niche where he was making a lot of money, and he was doing a lot better than in the other products he was doing affiliate marketing for. And he said, this right here is a big opportunity because there aren't any good products. And so he and his brother went and started a company, and they built the products for that particular niche, and now they've gone on to become very, very successful, you know, multimillionaire entrepreneurs. So what you want to do here is approach this not with the idea that you want to throw money at this, but what you want to do is throw ingenuity, right, and throw brain power at it. You want to test a few things out and find the one that works. And another reason why bootstrapping is better is because we humans have what are called cognitive biases. In other words, our brains, they lie to us and they distort all the information that's coming in, and they make us think things that aren't true. I'm sure that everyone here knows exactly what I'm talking about, right? So we're really distorted in our perceptions, and the more we work on something, right, and the more invested we become in it, the more we believe it's going to work, whether or not it's going to work. And the real problem, if you borrow a bunch of money or mortgage your house or borrow money from friends and family, and then you go spend a whole bunch of money renting a storefront or developing a product or hiring a bunch of people, is that you're going to get more convinced that it's going to work because it has to, okay? And then when it doesn't work, okay, it can be really, really bad, and then we do desperate things. I'll give you an example. You know, we hired someone that came to work with us a few years ago, and when I was interviewing this person, he was hired by a company to help them with their marketing, and this was a successful company. They were already a very successful company, and they had a website that they hadn't redesigned in years. And when they hired him, they said, we're working on our website redesign right now because our website is so bad that it's a miracle that anyone's even buying anything. And they said, when we design it and when we redesign it, it's going to at least double how much money we make. It's going to at least double the conversion. So they said, and with that, you know, and with you being a really smart marketer, we're going to just make a ton of money. So, Mark, I'm sure you can guess how this story ends. They finished their fancy redesign that took them a whole bunch of time and money, and when they turned it on, their sales went down instead of up. Right? And so when you are convinced that something's going to work, right, that's when you make lots of mistakes. And if you're investing lots of money in your idea rather than just your ingenuity, you even get blinded by it even more. And just bootstrapping is better. Pretty much, you know, essentially every business that I've launched has been bootstrapped in one way or another, with very little time, effort, energy, and money put in to test it out. And only once I got some proof of concept and saw, oh, hey, this is actually something that people want, and this is something that people buy, did I then put the effort in to try to build it as a business.
Right. And that's not to say that you're not going to reinvest a significant amount of money when you're already making money, because then you've got that proof of concept, and, you know, then it pays to split test and test different things, right?
Oh, yeah. Once you find something that works, that's when you want to throw a lot of money at it. You know, for example, you know, a lot of people say, well, where can I borrow some money, you know, or raise some venture capital to start a business? And I say, you know, bad idea. Start the business and make it work first, then go raise the money or go to the venture capitalist or borrow the money. Okay, so for example, I mentioned the younger guys who started this business and became very successful. They figured it out themselves, funded it themselves, and grew it. And then once they had proof of concept and they really found their market niche and their stride, then they went out and they raised a whole bunch of venture capital, you know, many, many millions, tens of millions of dollars actually. Then they took that money and put it into a system that was already proven, and that is a recipe for success. Okay, that's when you want to start reinvesting.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, one thing that I like to tell people about information product marketing in terms of you can spend money getting stuff done for you, but if you do all of the tasks that are required to run the business yourself first, then when it does come time in the future to get other people to do it for you, you know what you want a lot better than if you've never done that task or role before, and you have a much better idea of how to communicate with that person and how to manage them going forward. One thing I'm wondering about, just a quick question. Like, I remember seeing your back in the day, years ago, you launched your Double Your Dating website, and you had I think from memory you had like a sales page and then your product, and then it changed to being an opt-in page where people would get a free report plus a newsletter series that followed that contained just, and it's still available today, that contains just a lot of great free information, like a lot of, and when I say a lot, I mean the newsletter autoresponder goes on for a long time, many months, where people get non-stop free great dating advice and so forth, and it leads into other products and so forth. And you kept that model where your main website was just an opt-in page, very basic looking, like as basic as Google.com looks, you know, with, you know, a bunch of bullet points, a headline, and an opt-in. And that was your whole, the look of your website until people had opted in. That's all they saw. Now you've got more of a slicker type brand site where you can see all the products up front before you opt in and so forth. How's that working out for you, and what was your reasons for changing over to that format, just out of interest?
Yeah, absolutely. So it turns out we actually use several different types of websites and opt-in pages and so forth. And, you know, probably the one that you're looking at right now was just because the changing tide of Google. You know, Google, I kind of like to say that, you know, I think that we're kind of single-handedly responsible for killing the opt-in page, because we were the first one that I know of that used it widely, and then literally tens of thousands of people took our original Double Your Dating opt-in page, knocked it off, in many cases word for word, just changed a couple of words for their niche, and then eventually Google said, hey, you know, this isn't what we want. And so, you know, Google wants you to now have other options, content, you know, people to be able to get access directly to your material and so forth. So we've created a page that, you know, still allows them to opt in and offers them lots of value, but that also, you know, works well for the models of some of these big traffic sites like the Googles and the social medias and those kinds of things. But we still do use very simple opt-in pages that have a headline and some bullets, or a simple video and an opt-in, depending on the source of traffic.
Right, okay, so your main page isn't necessarily what people will be taken to if you're, for instance, you're doing a media buy or some sort of traffic source. You'll still take them to your opt-in page to get on your list first.
Yeah, and that's another thing, Mark, that's really fun about information marketing, is you get to try different things out. You know, for one group, it might turn out that they opt in more if they see a video. For another group, they might opt in more if they see a survey that you ask them to take, and plus you might get really good information from them. You know, another group might opt in more if they just see a headline and an opt-in box. So you get to play around with this, and using the internet and, you know, using some of these online tools and so forth, I personally, because I like to play around with these things, I find it really fun to make a change and then to see, you know, see the change reflect immediately. We made a change to one of our opt-in pages during this product launch, and it increased the opt-in conversion percentage by 10%. And, you know, I'll tell you, if I would have shown you and everyone else the two different opt-in pages and said which one of these is going to work better, you know what? I don't know that anybody would have really known, because they looked pretty similar to each other. You know, they had a video and they had an opt-in box and they had some graphics of the free stuff that they were going to get. So you get to play around. You get to tinker. And, you know, with the internet, because it's so instant and you get this kind of instant gratification, it's really awesome, because when you get a 10% increase, you go, hey, look at that. I just increased my income by 10%.
Yeah, no, it's amazing how that works like that. And I think before carrying on asking you a few more questions and taking some questions from the audience, I think it'd be a good idea just for some people that are just really interested in your training, and I might get you to talk more about it later, but would you mind just sort of just giving a quick summary of what's contained inside your Guru Masterclass? Like, people can get there at, I'll just give them the address. It's GOTO, then the number 2.com/masterclass. So go to, and then the number 2.com/masterclass. So, if anyone's interested in joining, they're going to learn exactly step by step how to build your own information product business.
Yeah, so basically what I've done is, because we've done this in, you know, many niches now, and I've helped a lot of other people do this, and now we've been teaching it for several years, I created a real step-by-step blueprint formula for anyone who's interested in taking their knowledge or their advice or their how-to information and turning it into books, ebooks, videos, membership sites, and, you know, other information products, and putting it together. And this masterclass, okay, is really kind of the version 2.0 of our Guru Blueprint training that we did last year. In fact, the entire Guru Blueprint training, which I'll tell you about here in a moment, is included inside of the Guru Masterclass, and then it comes along with a bunch of training that I do. So basically, if you want to build an information business, you really need to do two things right. Okay, first, you need to get your product right, and then second, you need to get your marketing right. Okay, so in other words, you need to have a product to sell, a product or a service, and then you need to be able to sell it. Right? You need to be able to talk people into buying it. And so in the Guru Blueprint program, which again is part of this training, every week you go through a video training course and you go through an exercise that I walk you through for 12 weeks, and we build one part of your Guru information business. So the first week we learn how to target your niche, and we do an exercise for that and figure out exactly how to target a high probability niche. The second week, we narrow our niche and we test it. We find just the juiciest, biggest money-making portion, and then we test it out. Next, in the third week, we learn how to format up our knowledge into ideas, into concepts, into what in information marketing we call content that has high value. Okay, so how to take what you know and format it up into formats that people will find very valuable. Next, we take this content and we turn it into a product. So in week four, we learn how to create an actual information product. In week five, we learn how to do what I call serializing your content. So if you have one technique that works really well, let's say for, you know, stopping a dog from barking, I teach you how to take that one idea and use it over and over and over in your website, in your newsletters, in your content, because you don't want to just create lots of new stuff. You want to take what you know that's really good and use it over and over and over. And then finally, the sixth week of the Guru Blueprint portion of this program, you learn how to package up your product for the highest price. Okay, as I mentioned, some info products sell for $20, some sell for $2,000, some sell for $20,000, and we need to learn how to package it up into a format that really gets you the highest price for it. Then in the next 6 weeks, we go into marketing, right? And first we learn how to summarize our offer into a powerful, punchy statement that really conveys the value. Next, we learn how to design a landing page. We learn how to design different types of landing pages with video. We learn how to use designs that we've proven over years and years with millions and millions of visitors, show you how to build those. Next, we show how to create newsletters, whether they're going to be, you know, like you mentioned, we have a series of email newsletters. We've done video newsletters. I show you how to write them. Most people don't realize we don't just have one newsletter. We actually have three different types of email newsletters that we use. and I walk you through what those are and how to do them. By the way, every one of these sessions that I'm mentioning comes with what I call a guru blueprint, which is a downloadable exercise or set of exercises where you go through and you fill in the blanks, template style, you know, really nice for building your business. Next, we build a sales conversion process, whether it be a website or a video. Next, we learn how to attract affiliate partners and do product launches online. And then finally, in the last week, we learn about advertising and partnerships and getting big companies to actually sell your products for you. We've been very successful getting large companies to offer our products and services for sale. Right, so that's kind of the Guru Blueprint program. And then the reason we call this the Guru Master Class is because each week, along with this, I am personally getting on and doing an in-depth live training where I'm going to take what you've learned in your blueprint and we're going to go really deep, and I'm going to teach you some of the finer points of how to do it. So you're going to get on once a week with me live, and you're also going to get access to me to be able to ask me questions directly. You're going to be able to ask me, you know, to get the, you know, put the sharp point on each of the things that you're trying to do. Now, the Guru Blueprint training, we actually sell all by itself for $2,000 just for that training. These masterclass live trainings that you get to get on for 90 days with me, you know, the value of those is a minimum of $5,000. So as you can see, you know, the value of this program, it starts to build very, very quickly. We're also going to do a series of a dozen trainings. A lot of people that are getting started in information marketing, they need to learn how to set up the technology tools that they'll need to run their business. So I've got a great faculty member, somebody who I think is just a great trainer and definitely much better than me at teaching the specifics about how to use the tools. I call him the traffic commander, and he's going to do a series of trainings, again, step by step, click by click, screen by screen, all on webinars, showing you how to set up and build a blog, set up a website and get web hosting, you know, do an online survey, build a landing page, set up an email list and an autoresponder, turn your book into a downloadable ebook, teach you how to do a live webinar, how to set up a shopping cart, how to create a membership website, set up social media, do pay-per-click, all of these different types of things. So you're going to get a whole separate series that we call the Tech Tool Trainings as part of the Guru Master Class as well. Again, just to make sure this program is comprehensive. Each of these, by the way, will be inside of your members' areas. If you miss a training for some reason, we'll have them all recorded in high quality. You can go in and replay, you can download, etc. This goes very deep, Mark. There are actually several other really advanced trainings that I'm offering. Marketing, very important. I've just released a new program that we haven't even sold yet, so very few people have even seen this. Just finished it up. It's the first course that I've created that's only about marketing. Okay, so I've created a lot of business training courses, and mm-hmm. marketing is usually a portion of them, but I finally created a course just on marketing, and this course is called Marketing Step by Step. Okay, so there are really only a few skills that really make the big difference in business, and marketing is one of them. This course is 19 videos, each one with its own exercise, over 15 hours of training, me going into everything from marketing psychology and mindsets to how to do copy and how to do design and how to do headlines and how to do sales and how to get referrals. And, you know, I mean, really, really powerful. I could literally just talk about this one program for at least, you know, an hour telling you about what's inside. It's the best marketing program I've ever created. Well, it's the only marketing program I've ever created that's just about marketing, but I think it's the best marketing course you can get. Value of this course is at least $1,000 all by itself, and just because I want to make sure you get a great marketing education, you're going to get this. We're also going to do a whole series of traffic fast start trainings. You get a membership to my Wake Up Productive program that I mentioned earlier, which is a 90-day time management and productivity program. You get the whole course. You get to go through that course for 90 days. It will double your productivity at the end of 90 days. You get a live strategy session with one of my business consultants on my team. Literally, you get to get online live, one-on-one on the telephone, and they will walk you through a process of making an action plan for the next few months of your business. You know what to do next, what to do after that. There are a bunch of other bonuses and so forth. Literally, we've got $12,800 worth of training here, real value, my very best training ever for information product and coaching, including my entire Guru Blueprint course, which is one of the best courses we've ever created. For this limited time during this week, for this class, we're offering the entire thing for only $1,997. We've also got a three-month, three-payment program. If you'd like to take advantage of that, you can check out on the website. And, of course, like everything else, our program comes with a 30-day, no questions asked, full money-back guarantee. If you join this course and you go through this training and you don't see immediately that this is going to be worth many, many, many times your investment in return in real money in the future in your business, all you have to do is send me an email, say cancel. We'll cancel your membership. You get to keep all the training you've gotten over that 30 days. There's no questions asked. We've got a great reputation, you know, and I think that you'll see when you get into some of this training that this is stuff that will literally change your life.
Yeah, it totally will. It changed my life. Like, I wish I'd had a course like this when I first got started. I started back in probably similar time to you did, back in 1999, and there weren't courses like this available, you know, because who out there did have experience like this back then? We were sort of forging the way. I don't know about you, but I was charging like $9 for ebooks, you know, trying to figure out, you know, I didn't even know what sort of price points to put things at, didn't know how to, I even started trying at $5, and then later on I, you know, tried different things out. I didn't even have a opt-in list when I learned about list building 4 years later. 4 years later, okay, I doubled the amount of money I was making within 90 days of adding list building to my marketing. I doubled like my weekly income. You know, I learned a lot, you know, by trial and error over years. And then you're providing the step-by-step blueprint of what to do and what works now in 2011. Step-by-step coaching for people right here. You know, group coaching, step-by-step coaching at this sort of stuff. You can't put a value on it. As long as you take action with what you learn, you'll make great money. Just to give you guys an example, though, I mean, not only have Eben and I done extremely well in information marketing, but personally, I have over 100 internet millionaires, information product marketers, that on my Skype, all right? And I've met several others. In fact, all you need to do is turn up to Affiliate Summit or some other well-recognized internet marketing event, and you will meet several other people that are already making great money from this. So it's not a question of whether or not it's possible or whether or not you can do it. It's a matter of whether or not you're willing to take the time to actually change your life for the better and do it. My own father quit his job for the government. He'd been working there for over 20 years, in fact, almost 30 years, and he started information marketing at the age of 57, and now he's in his 60s, and you know, has such a better life being able to work from home and do information marketing than he ever did for the government. Makes way more than he ever made for the government, but not just that, it's the lifestyle as well. It's far superior. I've got just a few more questions to take with you, Eben, and I'd just like people to punch into the question and answer box right now. Do you have questions of Eben that are either to do with his course or just anything to do with information marketing? Like, if you're at all thinking, hey, I wonder if I could actually do this, then why are you wondering? I'd like to know why, if you are doubting yourself in any way, I'd like to know why, and perhaps we could answer those questions for you. You know, because this course starts from scratch and takes you all the way through to having your own information product business. You know, it's a real life changer. Any one of you guys that takes the course and follows it through to completion will have dramatic success. I've got no doubt. It's just a matter of whether or not you turn up and do what you're taught. If you guys got questions about anything that's been covered on the webinar or anything to do with the products, then punch them in right now. You know, and I'd like to know, do you guys think, yes, I could do this? You know, and I'd like to know why or why not. It'd be interesting to know. Because, I mean, I've seen all sorts of people manage to get in and do information product marketing. I even got my own wife to make a couple of products a few years ago, just for a bit of fun. just to see how she'd get on. And, you know, she doesn't even think information marketing's for her, which is fine. She doesn't like it. But you know what? She made a couple of ebooks, and they're still making hundreds of dollars a week on the side for her. So, you know, it's still, you know, and she didn't want to take it any further, and that's fine. You know, she's happy with that and just be a full-time mum to our little wee one. So, you know, just about anyone, though, I'm just saying, can get into this stuff. So anyway, what would you say are the best niche opportunities online right now?
Yeah, you know, I'd have to kind of point, you know, again, this is another one of those topics that really deserves a much deeper treatment. Definitely go check out my report that I'm sure you sent everyone to. But I'll just say this. Human beings, okay, we come wired in a certain way. Okay, we come wired kind of from the factory to want to survive, find food, you know, be healthy, find a relationship, be successful. If you've ever seen like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which I like to talk about, down at the bottom it's got things like survival and security, and then it moves up to like love and belonging, and then it moves up to, you know, self-expression and self-actualization and some of these other ideas. And if you just look at what drives people, you realize that there are a few key drivers, and not coincidentally, it turns out that if you look at self-help and personal development, there are a few key, what I call mega niches, where most of the money is made. And I'll tell you what these are. They're health and fitness, they're dating and relationships, and they're money and business. Okay? And these kind of roughly correspond with those Maslow's hierarchy of needs that you learned about in school. Okay, you got to have health and fitness. You got to be healthy, right? Or you don't survive. You got to feel good or else nothing else matters. This is where diet and weight loss and things like stress and different types of food and healing, you know, come into play. Pauline Pilser called it several years ago that wellness was going to be, you know, the next big thing. And you see a lot of natural weight loss and kind of holistic approaches to health that are doing really well. So I think that those are really good opportunities. You know, next, once you've got your health and, you know, your kind of your fitness handled, you start looking out and saying, hey, I want to have a relationship, right? So dating and relationships become very successful. And, you know, and online we've done very well with dating advice for men, dating advice for women, relationship advice, things like, you know, conflict and divorce, and, you know, even things like parenting and education fit into this category. So any kind of information on how to get or have a better relationship or marriage, right? They're selling lots and lots and lots. I mean, we're talking, these are billion-dollar industries, these niches. And then next would be, you know, money, finance, business. Okay, so once you got your health together, then you got your relationship together, now you want to become successful. Okay? You want to make money. And the reason we want to do that is because we don't live in a time anymore like we have all been, where if you're hungry, you kind of go out in the woods and find some food. Now what you have to do is go to a job where you make money that you then go trade for food and clothes and shelter and so forth. So money is very important, and, you know, success, having extra money, becomes really important because that allows us to live the good life. So when it comes to business and money, you know, I've told you some of the things that we teach, like how to start a business, how to grow a business, time management, also categories like investment and real estate and debt and, you know, all the kind of things within those, and, you know, even things like just how to get a good job or how to grow in your career do very, very well as information marketing niches. So that's kind of a tour of the big three mega niches and a few of the ideas within it, but I definitely recommend that you check out my report online.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I totally agree with you, and I would say that just about everybody that I know that makes over $1 million a year online is actually making the majority of their money in either of those niches, or at least a subset of them. You know, like when exactly. You say, yeah, no, absolutely. Also, I would you put something like, just out of interest, because I mean I've done really well in niches where they probably fit into those categories, but it's just sort of like, I guess they'd fit into the health and wellness side, I guess. Because I've done really well on things like language learning and learn guitar and learn piano, skill set learning. Would you put that into health? Like, because that's, you know, I guess that's, you're learning those things. I think most people are doing it so that to improve their whole overall sort of social skills or for business, and in which case that leads to wellness and relationships. Well, how would you classify those sort of ones, though?
Yeah, you know what? So that's a tricky question, Mark. We could actually have a fun philosophical discussion about it, but I know that that's not what we want to do. We want to learn how to start businesses and make money.
Yeah,
here.
Totally.
But here's a quick answer. So probably 80% of the money in information products is made in those three niches that I mentioned.
Right.
But 20% is in a bunch of other stuff. Okay. So hobbies, for example. Okay, like golf or playing guitar, they can actually do very well as kind of things that are outside of those mega niches, okay, because not all the money is made there.
Right.
But now here's where the trick comes in. Okay, after studying dating for a long time and getting to know some of the smartest evolutionary psychologists on the planet, what I've realized is that even things like, you know, playing piano and playing guitar secretly are about trying to impress a member of the opposite sex, okay, even though we wouldn't admit it. So in a lot of cases, even things like hobbies and other special interests, they're hidden behind a couple of layers, but what's really motivating them is one of these other categories.
Right, yeah. No, that's totally right. And that's why I sort of, like, we totally didn't see them as necessarily outside those categories anyway. It was just sort of a different way of looking at it. We've got a lot of questions from people. James is asking...
Can I just mention one thing here real quick, Mark?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, John Caples' famous ad, right, that we've all seen with the man standing, and it says, "They laughed when I sat down at the piano, but when I started to play," and then it tells this story about how, you know, this guy had played this piano piece and everyone was impressed, and then the other guy got up and went and sat at the piano and all of his friends laughed and thought this must be some type of a joke. And then when he started to play, they were all very impressed with him. And he sold a lot of piano courses. And I think that, you know, that ad kind of tells the story because you realize there, oh, he's really learning to play the piano because he wants his friends to like him and be impressed with him. And so if you get behind the politically correct need or whatever you think the need is or what people are saying it is, and you get into what they're really doing it for, that's when things become very interesting.
Right. And that's when you really learn about, that's when you really learn about how to get those conversion rates up as well. I found that in, like, the Learn Guitar niche several years ago. I've been in that niche for a while, and all I would do is I'd put on my landing pages, the moment someone exited the page, it would ask them a question about why they were leaving and what they were looking and why they want to learn how to play guitar. And man, you'd find out all sorts of things, you know, a lot of them it was for reasons, you know, that you may or may not have thought of. You know, you get some sort of, like, sort of standard reasons. I want to personal satisfaction, that kind of thing. But then you get a lot of sort of reasons behind that, like, I want to impress my friends. A lot of people would type that sort of thing. I want to impress my family, my friends, I want to be able to play famous songs because music really makes me feel good and stuff. And there's just so many different reasonings. And, I highly recommend if you really don't get your niche or if you do think you get your niche, I highly recommend that you consider when you do drive traffic to it that you have some sort of exit pop-up that asks people why they're leaving, because it can give you great insights into, what their underlying reasons really are.
Excellent advice.
Okay, so James is saying that he's looking for the right layout for AdWords landing pages. He's saying he's just lost 50 pounds with this particular workout, and he's trying to write, and he's going to try and write an ebook, but I think it sounds like he's worried about wasting money on AdWords trying to get the right layout. What would you say to him?
You know, that's a really interesting question. If you haven't created a book yet and you know, you're already thinking, well, how do I make an AdWords page that works? Something you might want to try to do is, right, you said he's lost 50 pounds with a workout?
Yeah.
Yeah. What you might do is you might create a little training, you know, 30 minutes or 60 minutes long that's a webinar, and try to contact other fitness experts or even fitness publications and say to them, I lost 50 pounds with this workout that I've developed here, and I'd love to teach your group how I did it. And what you'll find, I think, is that by doing that, by just teaching what you figured out for free, you won't have to worry too much about the AdWords layout, because you can just kind of skip that piece for a while and then keep refining your presentation, refining what you teach, and then at the end do an offer for a product or for some coaching or something and get the experience real time. Like, go out and try the thing out. Go teach people what you do. I mean, especially if you created a workout, you probably can show pictures and teach people what you've done. And then once it works, and then you've, you know, done the presentation and you've taken some questions, then you'll have more of an idea of the types of content that you'll need to create to make a website that AdWords will like, okay? Because you'll need to create a series of articles and you'll need to create a series of pages. And it's better to do it after you've gotten experience in the real world doing it than kind of guessing at what people want. That would be my advice.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like looking at a mountain, say, and asking, how do I get from, say, halfway up the mountain to three-quarters of the way up without even doing your, you know, spending the first few hours on your hike first. You know, you've just got to, every little step in the road, it's not actually all that difficult. It's just that you've got to take those steps at the right time rather than trying to do everything at once. Yeah. And it's not even necessary anyway. So I know several people that don't do any AdWords or any paid traffic and still do extremely well. So, you know, it's not that you have to do it. It's just another form of traffic that you may wish to consider at some stage. Jamie and some other people have also have asked, how long does it actually take to see a reasonable amount of money from an information product? In fact, Jamie's just saying that he launched his first one last week, and he's saying that he's only made one sale. And he said that he's getting over 200 uniques a day, but he's not selling a lot yet. What would you say to someone like that?
Well, first of all, congratulations. Okay, if you've got your product online and you've made a sale and you're getting 200 visitors a day in your first week, you know, you're doing a good job, so give yourself a pat on the back. Now, I can't see your website, right, and I can't see your product, and, you know, I don't know all these other things. But if you're getting 200 visitors a day and you've only made one sale, my guess is you haven't figured out what their hot button is or what their pain button is, and you might want to do what Mark recommended here, which is put in a little exit pop-up that says, what's your biggest problem or frustration, okay, in the particular area, or, you know, why are you leaving without buying? Okay, and just ask a couple of these questions. What I like to do, Mark, is a little exercise with people where I say, okay, let's write down some words and let's figure out what their emotion value is. Okay, so let's say that this person, for example, is the one that lost 50 pounds with a workout and has a book on how to lose 50 pounds you know, doing a workout. And I would say, okay, what are the words that you're using to describe your book? So like, what's the name of the book? What are the words that you're using in the headline or in the first words of your video? Okay, what are the words that you're using in your story and in your offer? Okay, and what we'll find is that there are several different ways that you could talk about losing weight. Okay, you could talk about losing weight. You could talk about burning fat. You can talk about blasting belly fat. Okay? You can talk about, you know, all different kinds of words that mean, quote-unquote, the same thing, but some of them have a much, much higher emotion value. Okay, so if we just ranked on a scale of 1 to 100 the phrase lose weight versus the phrase burn belly fat, what you'll find is when most people hear the word lose weight, they kind of go, blah, you know, that might have an emotion value of 10 or 15, lose weight. I've heard that a lot. But when you hear the words burn belly fat, okay, that's a totally different thing. That might have an emotion value of 60 or 70 or 80, much, much more valuable. So probably what you need to do is target those words that trigger emotions inside of your customers and start using them more than just descriptive words. Because, again, if you're getting 200 visitors a day, you should be selling more of your product.
Yeah, absolutely. But I always see that as a really good start. Some people look at sales as the only measure of their success. And, no, that is one measure of success. But, heck, when you're getting moving, you just got to look at every other aspect. You look at I usually try to look at other forms of measurement before I'm making sales. Like, for instance, if I'm trying to get high search engine rankings, then I look and see, am I on page 10 in Google for the search results I'm trying to get? And have I moved up in the last month? Like, sometimes I go from page 10 to page 5, and then the next month I'm on page 3. That's progress, you know? And I'm not saying it always goes that way. I mean, sometimes you can get a high ranking in a matter of a short space of time. It just depends on how competitive the phrase is. And I'm not saying that's the only way of getting traffic anyway. There are other ways of getting traffic a lot faster than search engine rankings. I'm just saying, you know, sometimes you've got to measure things in other ways. You're managing to get traffic. That's great. You just got to learn how to convert that traffic and whether or not that traffic's coming from the right sources anyway, you know, can be interesting as well. Like I had somebody, one of my students once in the dog training niche, was getting a lot of traffic from the phrase German Shepherd. He just managed to rank really high in Google for the phrase German Shepherd and yet wasn't able to convert and sell dog training products very well. But, I mean, the phrase that people were typing in wasn't very targeted to dog training. And on further research, he found that they were actually looking for other things like photos of German Shepherds, the history of them, and all sorts of other things related to that breed as opposed to training, because they didn't actually have a problem with their dog, so didn't need training. So, you know, you've got to look at where your traffic's coming from as well. Sandra was saying, how informed or even, in fact, she said something before that as well. She's saying she's curious, bending her mind to see information marketing at work. She has looked at dog training, relationship stuff, credit card control, and health. Do you feel you are exploiting people's vulnerabilities?
Ooh, yeah, that's a tough one. Even the way that it's asked there is a little bit strange. You know, like any technology, marketing or information marketing can be used for good or for evil. And if you go online, you'll find people using it for both purposes. Okay. And in fact, there are a lot of people out there that, you know, I like to say they should go to marketing hell because they're using powerful psychological marketing techniques to sell stuff that has no value. I once interviewed Dr. Robert Cialdini, who's the author of the book Influence, and a really smart guy, a really interesting guy. And you know, people ask him about the ethics of using powerful psychology to persuade people to buy. And he says, well, here's the deal. If you know that you have a product or a service that's really going to solve the need of your customer, it's really going to help them, then you're actually ethically obligated to use all of the persuasion techniques you can to get them to buy. Because most people are very apathetic, they're lethargic. It's actually pretty hard to get people to buy stuff, okay? And so when you use these things, okay, you want to use them with consciousness, you want to use them ethically and so forth, but you definitely want to use them if you've got a great product and you can help people get themselves out of trouble.
Right. No, that makes total sense. Now, Sandra was saying, like, in relation to that question, how informed or even accurate do you need to be with your information? Like, are there legal ramifications, for instance, for providing poor information or in your products and things like that?
Yes, there are. You know, like any business activity, there are laws that govern advertising and marketing and, you know, other aspects of business and interacting with customers. And you definitely, you know, are responsible for checking on those and getting up to speed. And if you need legal advice, getting that and so forth. You know, what Mark and I are providing you here is education. You are the one that's responsible for going out and, you know, different countries have different types of laws. We've got people here from literally all around the world on this training. So you have to check on your local laws and so forth. But generally speaking, you know, tell the truth, right? Don't make false claims or talk about things that aren't true in any way. Make sure and disclose, you know, as much as you can. And, you know, get into step, get good legal advice, you know, and make sure that you're doing what's legal in your area.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's usually a lot of it's common sense, though, and just being upfront with who you are and what you're presenting. Like, if you're not a doctor and you're selling weight loss advice, then say it up front. People, usually it doesn't even hurt conversions to say, hey, I'm not a doctor. This is weight loss advice that has worked wonders for me and for, you know, my friends and family that I've shared it with. However, I'm not a doctor and does not replace any medical advice that may be shared with you by your local GP or whatever. And then, you know,
exactly.
And I'm not a lawyer when I'm saying this, so, but I'll just say that it's, you know, that kind of thing is about all you usually need to do from a common sense point of view. But, you know, like I say, I'm not a lawyer, so you probably should get it checked with a lawyer, I guess. But, you know, that sort of stuff's the kind of thing that I've done for years without any issues at all.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you and I, of course, we have to say, you got to check with your attorney because there's always someone who, you know, will listen to this and then go out and make some crazy claim. You know, they'll go dress up in a doctor's outfit and put on a stethoscope and, you know, say I'm not a doctor, but then dress like one and, you know, whatever, do something shady. So,
right.
Stay on the right side. Stay on the right side of things.
Yeah, absolutely. Usually, it's almost always the case that if you get into legal issues, it's almost always the case that you've done something knowingly wrong on some level. That's usually the case. And if not, most of the time there's some sort of warning anyway. But I won't say that that's always the case, but yeah, I'm just saying. Although, yeah, I mean, I've never got into any legal issues. The only things that I've ever had are actual, have never been anything that's been illegal. It's more just been other companies that, you know, like for instance, I had a dog training site that was called Sit, Stay, Fetch, and I had to rename it because I didn't realize, but there was another dog training site called Sit, Stay, and I hadn't thought about that when I registered it back in the day, and so I changed the name, and they didn't even like, you know, it's not like they took me to court over it. It was more that they were threatening to, and then I just said, no, okay, I'll change the name, you know, so, you know, that kind of thing. But I've never had like a legal thing where, you know, FTC's got onto me or something like that. That hasn't happened. And saying that, it's usually a good thing anyway. It means that you're making lots of sales online. You're making a lot of money. No one gets attracted to go after the guy that's making one sale a week. It's usually the guy that's making tens of thousands of dollars a week. So, you know.
Agreed.
Yeah. Okay. So, got several questions here, and I know you're on limited time. So, how about would 10 more minutes of your time be okay, Evan?
That's great. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, 10 more minutes, and then we'll have to wrap up. Okay, so what would you say in terms of list building? What are the best ways to grow a list right now?
Well, you know, I hate to be squishy about this one, but you know, there are a few different ways that work really, really well to grow a list. And so instead of just saying the best way, why don't I talk about a few different ways, and then you could kind of choose the one that, you know, might make the most sense for you. Okay, so there are essentially two different ways to grow a list. One is to go do it yourself, and the other is to go find other people who have already grown lists and get them to help you. Okay, so an example of growing your own list would be doing something like going and advertising on Google and doing pay-per-click, or going and running banner advertisements and sending people to an opt-in page. An example of growing your list based on lists that other people have built would be going out and doing something like what we're doing here, where I'm doing an interview with Mark for his list, and folks who already know, like, and trust him are checking out our stuff. Now, depending on your personality type, let's just kind of take those two, because I think they're a good kind of place to start here. Mm. Won't get too deep into them, but, you know, you get a good education. If you're the type of person that feels like you're good with testing things out and split testing, and you like trying different types of marketing, and, you know, you just generally feel confident about setting up different systems and trying stuff out and, you know, keeping track of your numbers, you'll probably do well building your own list, okay? Because you can get in there, and most people that are spending money on banner ads and on pay-per-click ads are not tracking very well, and they're not really doing it scientifically. So if you're willing to track and do it scientifically and do the testing, you can do very well with those. On the other hand, if you don't really like that kind of stuff so much, the tracking and the testing and the split testing and the watching the numbers, and you much more like people and talking to people and kind of interacting with people and just helping people, you're probably going to do better by building your list, by finding others who already have lists, and offering valuable training, advice, and service to those people. So, in other words, doing things like this, going out, finding someone that's already got a list and saying, hey, you know, I've developed a great system, a great technique. I'd love to do a teleclass or an interview for your list, or I've created a free report that you can send to them and build your list that way. So why don't we just kind of leave it there? But yeah. Those two ways, I think, would be the, you know, the ways to approach it, depending on your personality.
Yeah, I won't get you to flesh out your answers now, because we'll try and see how many we can get through in the next 8 minutes or so. But yeah, I thought that was a great answer. Okay, so are there still, well, like, would you say, even though some niches are, you know, there are a lot of products in there, would you say that there's still great opportunities for people to start information businesses right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is the best time that there has ever been to start an information business. Okay, right now, best time there's ever been. And the reason why, and let me just tell you, Mark, I mean, I think that we're at the beginning of our own growth curve for our own information business. You know, I've been creating new products like crazy over the last couple of years. I'm going to be creating a new product coming up this weekend, okay, as part of my training course here. And the reason why is because over the last several years, people have really gotten into self-help, personal development, self-improvement. And, you know, whereas I can remember when I started with this stuff 20 years ago or something, I would say, yeah, I was listening to the self-help tape in my car, and people would kind of look at me like, oh, you're one of those weirdos that listens to that self-help stuff, right? Well, now it's just part of the conversation, okay? It's just, you know, part of the conversation. Did you read that new self-help book that's out? Have you checked out that new course? Have you watched that video? Okay, So now it's become mainstream for the first time, okay? So another reason why is because Amazon.com and Apple, okay, have just launched a couple of products over the last couple of years that are revolutionizing what we might call the personal entertainment and education markets. These things are the Kindle and the iPad, of course. And, you know, Apple sold something like 250,000 of the iPad the first day they had it out, and now they're selling them by the tens of millions. Amazon selling similar amounts of their Kindles, and people are getting used to consuming information, okay, as a product. And I'm telling you, we're going to see, you know, just watch over the next 10 to 20 years, we're going to see the information industry explode. It's already something like, and this is just kind of one of those things you have to, it's too big of a number to even wrap your head around, but the information industry is already something like a $400 billion per year industry around the world, okay? And again, I think we're just getting started right now. And, you know, the reason we got 6 billion people on the planet, okay, 6 billion people, most of them have their food and clothes and housing needs met, and they're looking for something to do with their time, right? They want to educate, better themselves, entertain themselves, and they're turning to us, kind of the new educators, to help them learn about all of these different little niche areas and ideas. And, you know, the way humans work, we like to learn different things from different people. You know, Costco figured out that, you know, people don't like to buy, like, all their stuff. You don't like to, like, go into, I don't know, Nordstrom and buy your shoes and your shirts and your whatever. You go into a Costco, though, and it's real fun because they got all different kinds of stuff, and you can kind of go around and find all different types of things. So there are more niches being created and more niche opportunities created every day than have ever existed before. These industries are exploding. More people now have access through the Kindle, the iPad, and their computer than ever to be able to consume this kind of information. Information products are spectacular. I think they're a great business to get into.
Yeah, I think. I mean, I recommend it to people all the time, like family and friends. And, you know, I often think like a good test of whether or not I should ever recommend certain business models, because I don't know about you, but I get them presented to me across my desk all the time now that, you know, I teach people how they actually do this stuff. And a good test of it for me is, like, would I recommend that my father go through this training and do this? And you know what, when I look at you and your course, I would say, yes, I would totally tell my dad, go through this. Yes, I would. So, you know, I think that's a, you know, good sort of indication of the value.
Absolutely.
Now, what would you say are the most important parts of a product that if someone's going to sell a product online?
Can you ask that in a different way? Do you mean like making the product itself?
Yeah. If someone's selling either an ebook or they're selling an audio course or a set of videos, what would you say are the most important parts of that product so that it's a, you know, succinct product that's sellable?
Got it. So I love this particular area, and in fact, inside of the Guru Masterclass and the Guru Blueprint training programs that we're offering, I walk folks through what I call frameworks, which are these structures that you use to kind of take your ideas and you hang them on them so that it makes it, you know, appealing to the human mind. The thing to remember is different humans learn differently. Okay? Different humans learn differently. And some people are more interested in the theory. Some people are more interested in the how-to and the practice. And some people are more interested in just getting into action and just going and doing it. Right? Some people are more interested in getting motivated and all excited about it. Okay, and they're not even as concerned with the theory or the practice. They just like getting excited about something new to do. Now, you know, these are kind of four different, I'm actually using a model there, there are four different learning styles. Now, let's say, for example, you're one of the kinds of people that likes to get all revved up and motivated about learning, and you like to get fired up and think about the possibility and, you know, get your emotions going. You can't even imagine, basically, what it's like to be a person who needs step-by-step action steps in order to learn, and who isn't really that interested in getting motivated. They just need a recipe in order to learn. And if you're the person who just needs the step-by-step action steps, you can't even imagine what it's like to be a person that just wants to get all fired up and revved up and really excited about learning, and you're not really even concerned about what it is you're learning. You just want to get excited about it. So in order to make a product that really appeals, okay, use this format. In the beginning, get the person motivated to learn. Get them excited. Tell them why it is that they need to learn what it is that you're teaching them. Tell them what they're going to get, the benefit that they're going to get, the outcome that they're going to achieve, and tell them about the pain that they're going to avoid. Okay, so let's say that you're this person who's got an exercise workout that teaches people how to lose 50 pounds. In the beginning of your product, you want to get them motivated to learn, all of them. You want to say, I'm about to show you a system that I've developed that I've used daily exercise to lose 50 pounds. Okay, here's what I used to look like, and here's what I look like now. My wife says I look terrific. She wants to sleep with me all the time. Okay, you know, all these different kinds of things. And just imagine how great you're going to feel when you can fit into all those clothes that you want to fit into. Imagine all these health issues that you're going to be avoiding when you lose your weight, how good you're going to feel about yourself. In other words, get them excited and motivated to learn. That's the first one. The next part of your product, I think it's important to talk about mindsets and kind of theories. So, for example, let's say that you're teaching this exercise and weight loss. You need to teach a little bit about why exercise helps you lose weight. Okay? Talk about how the body works. Talk about how the metabolism works. Tell the story about how you figured this out. Teach some of the concepts from some of the best thinkers in the area. Okay? Because a lot of people like to have the theoretical. They like the scientific backing. They like to understand that you really get it. Okay? That it's not just some, you know, quacky kind of thing that you just made up. Okay? So teach them some theory. Teach them a little bit of science. Tell them the story about how you figured it out, how you learned it. The next thing you want to do is give action steps. Okay? This type of learner, by the way, is called a how-to learner. They want to know how to, and you need to make a checklist and a set of action steps. So say, okay, so here's what we're going to do. Exercise number one, here are the action steps. Get yourself in this position. Hold the weight in this way. Here's how to know if you're doing it right. Here's how to know if you're doing it wrong. Do this many reps. Okay, step two, move to this exercise. Do it this way. Do it that way. And put an exact checklist with very specific sensory description of the action steps that you want your customer to take, your learner, your student to take. And then finally what you need to do is get them out and get them to do it. They get them into action. Okay, so once they're motivated, once they understand it theoretically, once they have the action steps, then you need them to go do it. So you got to get them to schedule it on the calendar, get an accountability buddy, put some conditions in place so that they have time to do it, so that they've got the equipment that they might need, whatever it is, make sure that they go out and they do it. So if you get people motivated to learn, you teach them a story and you tell them a theory, you give them action steps, and then you get them out there into action. That's a pretty good format for a piece of content or for a product that'll make sure that you're communicating with most of your customers very well.
I think that's a really, really fantastic answer. It was probably 10 times better than what I was expecting. Like, I was expecting a good answer, but I thought that was really, really good, and I hope people have taken notes about that.
That's really the formula that I use for my own programs, by the way.
Right. Yeah, no, I've seen that actually when I think about it in your programs, you know, I can recognize what you're saying. Like, quite often you talked right at the start, about setting in what you're going to do over the next 90 days, the results you're going to achieve, that sort of stuff is usually how you start your programs. And, I think it's, fantastic insight into what you do. Okay, now, I just want to say a big thank you for sharing so much valuable information with everybody on this particular interview. You've really covered a lot of great information about getting started running in your own information product business. It's been fascinating, and I really hope a lot of you out there take action and give this a shot. This is potentially hugely life-changing. The amount of money that people make doing in information marketing, including myself and Evan, is phenomenal. But it's not just about the money. It's actually a really fun way of living your life and earning a living. You know, you can actually you travel the world. You meet so many people that are doing similar types of businesses and have a lot of freedom about what they do. You get to learn a lot of new things. You get to you get to have a lot of variety to your work. It's amazing, and it's something anyone can get into, especially if you've got step-by-step training from someone like Eben in his masterclass. So I really want to say a big thank you to Eben, and I really want to recommend that you guys join his masterclass. It's only open until Friday, so the doors will be closing on Friday, so make sure that you join right now, and it's at GOTO. Then the number 2, so that's GOTO, and then followed by the number 2.com/masterclass, okay? GOTO, then the number 2.com/masterclass, MASTERCLASS. Have you got anything else to add, Eben, before wrapping up?
No, I really don't. I encourage you, if you're interested in learning how to be successful by helping other people, that you check this out. It's the best training on how to build an information product, training, advice, coaching business that you're going to get. Again, we've got a 30-day money-back guarantee. We've got a great reputation. You'll really love this training once you check it out. In fact, if you join now, just get on this Saturday. I'm doing an all-day training on being an entrepreneur and kind of building a business. If you register and you get on that training with me on Saturday all day, and you don't just agree that it alone was worth the price of tuition, you can just send me an email and say cancel, and I'll give you a refund. But you know, that training alone is going to be awesome. I'm only going to do it once. It's only going to happen this Saturday. Join me for it. Check it out. I'd really love to help you start an information business and turn what you know into products that you can sell online.
I've had several people say thank you, by the way, for the webinar, and that they've really enjoyed the content. So I just thought I'd pass that on to you. And also I've had quite a few people saying things along the lines of spot on, helping people can sometimes be better than making money anyway. That's a high in of itself, you know, let alone the fact that you know, potentially there's millions of dollars to be made in this kind of business. So, you know, I think it's great that you've shared all that wonderful information with people, and I hope that you've inspired some more people to get into information product marketing. Just a reminder that this is closing on Friday, so I highly recommend that you get in and join right now. There's a 30-day money-back guarantee. You just need to send Evan an email anytime within the 30 days and you can get an instant refund. So it's not like there's any risk whatsoever. You know, Evan's promising to deliver results and deliver them quickly. So I'd say, you know, the risk is entirely on Evan there. And the link is www.goto2.com. So that's goto2.com/masterclass. I'll mail out a replay for you guys that are asking about whether or not there's a replay from this interview. I'll mail that out tomorrow to my amazingself.com list. So make sure that you're on the amazingself.com list if you're not already. I'll mail that out tomorrow. So thanks again, Evan. And for everyone else out there listening, take action with what you learn. And we'll see you next time. Bye for now, everybody.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.